Hello, this is Rick Ozzie Nelson. I'm a senior affiliate at Center for Strategic International Studies and also Vice President for Business Development at CrossMatch Technologies. Today, we're honored to be joined by Laura Reese, Senior Principal, Directing Immigration Reform Strategy for CSC's North American Public Sector and the Border and Immigration Solutions Center of Excellence. In this capacity, Laura leads CSC's initiative to leverage its expertise and thought leadership in the visa, border, and immigration arena to bring integrity to visa, border, and immigration processes through the use of technology. Prior to joining CSC, Laura served as Senior Counsel and VP at the Monument Policy Group at Government Relations Forum. She also served at Department of Homeland Security, first as Policy Director for Immigration in the Border and Transportation Security Directorate, and then as Acting Director for Mission Operations and U.S. Visit. Laura, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Ozzie, and to CSIS for having me. It's exciting times for immigration.
Absolutely. And Laura, you're very knowledgeable in this area and have a lot of experience and history working in immigration and border controls. And what we're seeing right now, some would argue, is almost a once-in-generational opportunity for the U.S. government to make some substantive changes on our immigration and border control policies. But most of the discussion so far has focused on just that, the policies and the laws that need to be changed. But there's a critical aspect of this, and that's technological innovation, something that you and CSC as thought leaders are heavily involved in. So today we want to talk a lot about what is a technological innovation that perhaps can help the U.S. government with its innovation, with its reform vis-a-vis border security and immigration. So the first question, I'll ask you is, why is technology important for immigration reform?
Well, we see that technology is bringing better information for better decisions in immigration, and that's on two levels. First, on the individual level, for both immigration benefits and enforcement, accurate and complete information or data is needed to make sure the benefits, whether that is obtaining a job or getting a visa or entering a port, is given to those who are eligible and not given to those who are ineligible. And, of course, that brings integrity to the immigration system. Second, on a policy level, we need complete and accurate data to have a proper debate about immigration and to have confidence that appropriation levels are being set accurately. So, for example, one area that's lacking information and complete data is regarding visa overstays, because a biometric exit system has not yet been implemented. And if we really want to secure the borders and make sure we're not having the same conversation again in 20 years because another 10 million immigrants are residing here unlawfully, the overstay picture really needs to be complete and accurate.
So the technology is key. Your position is technology is key to bring about this reform. But what kinds of technologies would help bring about this meaningful reform to the visa, border, and immigration processes?
Well, we need to get beyond the traditional view of border security and benefits and get to one that uses a digital platform that we all live on. The borders can't be sealed, no matter how much money the U.S. can afford to buy equipment and pay for more agents and more fencing. You're still going to have illegal entries. You're going to still have people who come in lawfully with a visa and then overstay. So it's about managing risk. And that means managing access to those benefits that are core to having an economic life here in the U.S. The government's done a good job extending the borders overseas, but now we need to extend it into the digital domain as well and perform those eligibility and risk assessments at various physical as well as virtual gates. And the points to do this already exist. It's when someone applies for a visa overseas, or when someone is at a port of entry, or when they're applying for a job. It is applying those risk assessments using proper identification, and then also bringing in user-friendly tools such as mobile devices to make it easier for the individuals.
So this is leveraging, in many ways, existing technologies, and is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So where do you see this technology model being used? You specifically said at entry points. Are we talking that it would be on your handheld device as well? When you talk about the virtual domain, what exactly does that mean for visa, border, immigration areas?
Well, we're seeing an intersection between this administration's effort in the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, or NSTIC, and the visa, border, and immigration domain. And we think NSTIC could be applied very well to the visa and immigration process. So immigration integrity is founded on identification. And basically, NSTIC suggests a new way of doing business, including the government transactions we perform online. And the idea around NSTIC is you prove your identity one time, you enroll your identity, and then you, with the provider of your choice, and then you reuse that with the government entities or the commercial entities that you're interacting with. Currently, each government agency and even each program within each government agency asks us to prove who we are every time we interact with them. What if we could prove our identity once and then share that certified information with those relying parties? It would save the government significant money in no longer having to collect and then manage identification to perform password resets. That alone takes up a considerable number of resources. And that way, agencies can focus on the inherently governmental function, which is adjudication of these benefits, and allows individuals to have more control over their identity, who they share it with, and what information they're sharing.
So the model, I think, that you're suggesting, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, says that we would get enhanced security, it would be more flexible and provide for better experience for those that are looking to come into the country. It would give users more say in who gets their information. And it would also, on some level, I think, probably enhance privacy as well, since your data is not going to be spread about multiple disparate organizations and departments. Is that all accurate?
That's right. And you mentioned earlier mobile devices. There's obviously been a proliferation of mobile phones, smartphones, tablets in the market. And the number of mobile devices now will soon exceed the world population. I mean, it's those kinds of numbers. So for a convenience sake for individuals, to make these transactions user-friendly and easy to complete, it's doable now. The technology is there now. Even to perform biometric authentication on our mobile devices, it's quite possible now.
Now, again, obviously, you have a lot of experience in this field and have seen this debate, you know, evolve through the last decade. Critical time. We have an audience here. We have Congress. We have the American people, certainly an audience here. What would be some of the key messages that you would want to get out into that forum to make sure that are heard on what role that technological innovation can play in helping drive this reform and get some advance our policies?
I think if the policymakers, including members of Congress, are more familiar with how technology can help achieve a policy, they'll be more comfortable legislating that policy. So, for example, if they see how mandatory E-Verify could be implemented using biometrics and mobile devices such that it closes the fraud gap and it brings convenience to both employers and employees, then members of Congress would be more comfortable legislating mandatory E-Verify. Or if they see how digital applications could shorten the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services processing times, Congress would be more confident that a mass legalization program could be administered efficiently. Or third, if policymakers see that a biometric exit can be implemented using the very mobile devices we all carry on us, and that pre-existing infrastructure, perhaps Congress's intent for a biometric exit will be implemented.
Well, Laura Reese, Senior Principal for CSE, it was an honor to have you here. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you for having me.